So Enrico and Rian, Harry and Martin, when they're up here, they have the iPad. I've got my eye right. Okay, so good morning, everyone. So 2 weeks ago, I had my anniversary of being saved for 50 years. As a 17-year-old, I gave my life to Jesus. Before I gave my life to Jesus, I wasn't a very happy teenager. I was a rebellious teenager and just wanted nothing to do with God. In fact, my parents, when I opened my eyes in this life, both my parents and both my grandmothers, they served God. But I grew up sort of angry because my dad was an elder pastor, and I didn't like, you know, what was happening in the home, in the sense that there was always people in our home. There was always people invited in, and for me it was just they were encroaching on my space. And I didn't like that. And so I grew up thinking, I don't want this. And actually, I became exactly like my dad. Our home was opened up to people. My life has opened up to people. I became exactly the way my parents were. And I thank God for this. In fact, I said to God, God, I don't want you. So I'm so glad that God never took me at my word. As a 17-year-old, I remember even before then, there were many times in my life sitting in church, listening to a gospel message, and being so convicted that I needed Jesus, that I remember sometimes I could hardly get up from the seat. I was so convicted, but yet I resisted and I said, God, I don't want you, because I don't want that kind of lifestyle. I want my own private lifestyle. I don't want these people in our homes. Our tables were always open for people who needed food. Our rooms were always open for people who needed accommodation. And we had to be, as children, had to be moved into smaller spaces. And we just had a very small house, very small cottage. And this irritated the living daylights out of me. I didn't want this. I really did not want this. In fact, it's not that I didn't want this. I didn't want the God who is that. And today, God wants to stretch us to become this that I'm talking about today. God is stretching each, if you call yourself a Christian, He is stretching each and every one of us to open up our lives, to submit to God and His kingdom. Because you see, I thought it was my kingdom. It's all about me. As I say, I grew up in this home. My dad played the guitar. He was an elder and pastor. My mom played the piano, accordion. And there was always singing in our home. When my mom cooked, there was singing. When she cleaned, there was singing. When she was a very good seamstress, when she was sewing, there was singing. In fact, there was so much singing in our house that my mom's sewing machine was a singer. Yeah, so that was the home that I grew up in. And saying, I actually didn't want this. I really did not want this for myself. But thank God that on the 25th of November, 1975, when I walked into that gospel hall where they held the church meeting, the word of God went out. I remember the man who preached was the name of the man named Mr. Hugh Warner. And he preached, and I remember that evening walking out and getting to the door, just about to go outside. And my dad's brother said to me, in Afrikaans, he said to me, "Gaan jy jou hart vir die Here vanaand gee?" And I just broke down. And I thank God for this, that God was so kind and so gracious with me. And I broke down and I just wept. And I remember I gave my life to Jesus that day. And when I came into the home that evening, my dad took me in his arms, and I grew up in a church that wasn't very charismatic. They didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit. But my dad took me in his arms, and he prophesied over me, and he prayed over me. And those days, I still had lots of hair. And my dad cried, and his tears went through my hair onto my scalp. And he prophesied God's purpose into my life as a 17-year-old. And I thank God for that. And I want to say to you, God is more invested in your life today. Maybe you're sitting on that sidewalk and you're thinking, is that celebration also for me? God says, I want to bring you into my banqueting house. And my banner over you is love. God is saying, I want to bring you into family. I want to bring you into the kingdom. And if you are on the outskirts today, it is not because God has not invited you. It is because of personal choice. God is calling each and every single one of us into relationship. He wants to bring us into family. Last week, Martin spoke about, you know, giving up our rights. And you might think, man, that sounds so legalistic. Like, why must I give up my rights? Maybe you interpret it like that, or maybe just the title of what Martin preached on last week. You may be thinking, that sounds so legalistic, so contractual. I want to speak today about, you know, handing over or overcoming the giants in our lives. Rian mentioned, and that we think sometimes we are not lost. We think sometimes that I don't have hiccups and I don't have hassles. Actually, each and every one of us have got giants in our lives. We all have giants in our lives. Actually, on Friday morning, as elders, we meet there in the coffee shop. And we at 6:30, we have an elders meeting. So after that meeting, I had an appointment with Lionel and a personal friend of ours. We meet together probably every second week or so. And we go to a restaurant and have coffee or breakfast. And off we went to this coffee shop in just outside Pinelands in the Benny. And we had breakfast. Before we actually had breakfast, we just arrived. We usually sit inside the restaurant. But because Friday was a nice day, we decided to sit outside. And as you know, most of these restaurants these days, they incorporate some of their parking lot to extend the restaurant space. So that is where we sat. It was a long rectangular table with a bench each side and a little chair at the end. I decided to sit on the end of the table. And I went to sit down. We weren't even served it or anything. Sat down, and the chair was too close to the table, so I moved the chair a bit back. But the leg of the chair got caught in the gap of the paving, and I fell back, and I banged my head against the other table and cut. I actually didn't even realize I was cut. I got up. Lionel and Rob, our friend, helped me up. I got up, and the lady sitting behind me said, "He's bleeding." And then we sat, and then we called, the manager came of the restaurant. And I said, what happened now? They said, okay, let's go to there's a little room. Let's go in there so you don't freak out everyone with all this blood on your head. So we went in there, and then she got some Dettol and bandages and bandaged my head. And I said, so what now? She said, we are not responsible for this. You fell, if you slipped on water, or one of the waiters came and they burnt you with some hot coffee, we would take responsibility for that. But you slipped. You fell. Well, you went back and you fell. You bumped your head. And that's it. I said, okay. So I said, but what do I do now with this thing? So Rob phoned his doctor in Pinelands. And he said, do you have space to see a patient, a friend of mine? And we went. And she came there. She stitched me up and also gave me a tetanus injection. She said, because I don't know what germs or whatever could have been on that table ledge. And so it cost 1,144 rand for this, whatever. Stitched me up and gave me 5 stitches in the back of my head. Anyway, went back to the restaurant. I paid for it. I said, are you prepared to pay for this? No, we're not prepared to pay for it. By that time, a director was there. He said, no, we're not prepared to pay for it. I said, really? So, as I said, what Martin preached on last week is giving up your rights. And actually, our relationship with God is never contractual. Our relationship with God is covenantal. It is a big difference between covenant and contract. The two might sound similar. They are worlds apart. in contract, well, like with these guys, in contract, they were saying, we limit our responsibility, we hold on to our rights, which is not to pay for you, and we limit our responsibility for what has happened to you. In covenant, now covenant is always made from the greater to the lesser. God always initiated a covenant. So a covenant is, and God demonstrated this to us in Jesus Christ, where Jesus was truly God. He gave up that right to be God, and he comes down, and he comes to take my place and your place and die for your sins and my sins so that we can be reconciled to God. So covenant is, because Jesus did that, he asked us to give up some things. And what he asked us to give up, our rights. Our rights to be right, our right to be, have the mindset that I had before I was saved. God asked all of us to hand over or relinquish our rights. Because Jesus did this. He was truly God. He gave up the Godhead, comes down, becomes a child, a baby, becomes a child, and eventually becomes a man, dies for you and me. So in covenant, we as Christians, we give up our right and we take on more responsibility. That is what we do in covenant. In contract, we protect our rights and we limit our responsibility. But we are not in contract when we come to God or in contract with each other. We are in covenant with each other. So we look out for each other. We serve each other. We care for each other. You know, let me get to the Word of God quickly. So I want to speak about, I said my title is Overcoming Our Giants. And I want to speak about the time when the Israelites, or before the Israelites went into Canaan. So let's read from Numbers 13, verse 1. Let me get there quickly. Numbers 13, verse 1. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men out to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel from each tribe of their fathers. You shall send a man, everyone a leader among them. Let's go further. And we're going to staying in Numbers 13, from verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are forests there or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of first ripe grapes. The time when the spies went out to spy out the land was the season of first ripe grapes. God has got various titles and names like Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Rapha and Jehovah Shalom and many other titles. But God is all, he also has a name which perhaps you don't know. And this is why God sent them out during the time of first ripe grapes. God has also got the title of Jehovah Sneaky. God is sneaky in a way. God doesn't send people out when it's like bad and rainy and the giants are there and it's hard. God sends him out because, you see, when God asks something of you, he doesn't ask something that he knows you are not going to like or not going to be able to overcome. So God is fairly, I don't want to call it sneaky anymore because sneaky is not such a good word. God is fairly determined and don't even want to use shrewd. God is intentional with your life and my life. And God is more invested in your life and mine than you can ever imagine. He's very invested in you because, you know, he knows exactly what you need. He knows that because he formed you. He made you a certain way, look a certain way. And God is very much invested in your life. More so than what you ever can imagine or think. He knows more about you than you know about yourself. So he knows exactly what you need to make you the best image of what you are today. He knows that exactly. And so Moses sends these people out, and the time they go out is the season of first ripe grapes. Let me go further, read a bit more, and we get to verse 23. Then they came to the valley of Eshkol, and there they cut down a branch with one cluster of grapes. They carried it between two of them on a pole. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. The place was called the Valley of Eshkol because of the cluster which the men of Israel cut down there. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran Kadesh, and brought back word to them and to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is the fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there." Go further. I'll give you the next verse. "There we saw the giants." This is verse 33 now. "There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants." And just further down it says, "And we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." So for you and I, God calls us to this life. And it, you know, a lot depends on how we see ourselves. These people that went in there, the 10 spies, the two, Caleb and Joshua, had a different report. But the 10 said, "We were like grasshoppers in the eyes of the giants. And also we were like grasshoppers in our own eyes." So I'm wondering how you see yourself. Do you see yourself as God sees you? Because if you see yourselves as God sees you, you will have a different outlook to this life of kingdom that God has called us into. You will have an absolutely different outlook to that. But if you see yourself, perhaps even as you think other people see you, you will try to please others, and you may even try to please yourself and not to please God. But we, you and I, need to see ourselves as God sees us. And God sees us as men and women who has redeemed. Men and women who are more than overcomers in Christ Jesus. So the question is to you and I, do we have giants in our lives? I can say to you, we certainly do. We have giants in our lives, and the giants in our lives may look different. Each of our giants may look different. My giant may be, "Look, I can't do this, or I can't do that, and that holds me back." Your giant might be, maybe your giant is relationships, or maybe your giant could be sickness, or maybe your giant could just be like a financial giant. You find yourself not able to do what you think you should be doing. Maybe that's your giant. And you say to yourself, "Because of that, I see myself in a certain way." I want to say, in spite of that, God sees you in a certain way. God sees you as an overcomer. God sees you as a victor. And it's time that we proclaim that over our lives. And not only over our lives, but over the lives of our descendants, over the lives of our children, and start proclaiming that over ourselves. Because I want to assure you, as I said earlier, God is more invested in you than what you are invested in yourself. And by the way, I am not shouting at you. I am shouting for you. I want you to hear this. I'm shouting for you to hear that this is what God's word says about you. And if you just persist in living this old mediocre life and just keep on plodding on and thinking that things might get better, I will say to you, it probably will not. But God says to you, look to me, all the ends of the earth, because I am God. I am invested in you. I've got a plan and I've got a purpose for your life, and I want to bring that plan and that purpose in your life to fruition. I want to bring it to completion in your life. But you need to trust me. You need to put your faith and trust in my purpose, in the ways that I want to lead you into. Let me go a bit further. Romans 4, remember the one verse we said that they saw themselves as grasshoppers. Let's see what Romans says. Let's get there quickly. Romans 4, verse 16 and 17 says, Romans 4 deals with the faith of our father Abram. And Romans 4, verse 16 says this: therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abram, who is the father of us all. Is that a different version? I see some people looking. Oh, it is probably a different. Is it okay? Okay, let me. So let me keep reading. Let me just do a little. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all. And you and I are all. The promise is sure to all of us. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abram, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he, that is Abram, believed. And then it's God who gives life to the dead, and he calls those things which do not exist as though they do. God calls those things in our lives, even though we may say, I've got this or that giant in my life, or this or that negative thing in my life. God calls the things in your life which do not exist as though they do. So let me explain this. Let's say you've got sickness, you've got a certain sickness, and the doctor has said, this is your ailment. The Word of God doesn't say, he calls those things which are as though they are not. He calls those things which are not as though they are. So he calls health into your situation. So God wants you, even though you have that particular ailment or you have that particular need, God wants you to call forth the opposite of that in your life and not to give airtime to that thing that you are struggling with. Too often, we give too much emphasis on the things that's wrong with us, and we constantly speak about that. God doesn't want us to speak about those things. He wants to speak about those things or the person that you and I can become. And this is what God wants you and I, and this is what this passage of Scripture actually speaks about, that he gives life to the dead, and he calls those things which do not exist in your life as though they do. So if you are struggling with need, don't constantly say, I am so poor, I don't have this, I don't have that. Say, speak to God and say, God, I trust you and I believe your word and I call forth the provision in my life. I call forth the health in my life. I call forth those broken relationships to be healed in my life. That is what God encourages us in his word to do. I'm going to ask Wilbur if you want to come up right now because I'm busy landing now. But I want to give you something more exciting and more good news, and I want to go to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 from verse 30 to 31. So just by the way, when those Israelites eventually went into Canaan, there were giants there. And there were cities that were fortified, that had walls that were so broad that chariots could ride around those walls. There were things that stood against them. So there were giants in the land. But there was a God on their side who was greater than the giants, who was stronger than those walls, who was able to bring them through this. So Romans, Paul says in Romans 8 verse 31, he says, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how then shall he not with him, with Jesus, also freely give us all things? Paul says, God who did not spare his only son, but delivered him up for you and for me, you think he's going to withhold any good thing from you? If he gave his very best, if he gave his son for us, do you think God is going to withhold anything from you that he knows that will make you a better person in his kingdom and be a better benefit to him and to others? Do you think God will withhold any good thing from you? I can assure you, he will not. Let's go to this. The other section in Romans 8, verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded, Paul says, that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul says, I am persuaded. Now, when Paul says, I'm persuaded, it's more than just somebody trying to persuade you to get you onto his way of thinking. It's way more than that. When Paul says, I'm persuaded, he's saying, I am convinced. And even being convinced is not enough. You and I need to be persuaded, we need to be convinced, but more than that, we need to be convicted deep down in our hearts that God's plans and purposes for us are good. So when he asked me to make a shift, when he asked me to do a particular thing, to invite somebody in, or anything that challenges my way of living, when God asked me to make that type of choices, Paul says, I am persuaded. Then he's persuaded that neither death nor life, let me not quote incorrectly. He says, yet in all these things we are more than conquerors. Now I want to tell you with the giants that you have, and we do have, every single one of us has got a giant. If you call yourself a Christian, it doesn't exclude you from having giants in your life. Those are shortcomings. Those are things, they might even just be habits that we have, that things that we do. It might not even be sin. It might just be a way we do certain things that is not absolutely beneficial to you. But those giants in your life, God wants you to submit to Him so that your life and my life can be more fruitful for Jesus Christ. So you say, what Paul says there. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. So were those giants in your life, if you still serve God, if you still help out with people, if you come to church knowing that you've got those challenges in your life, when you get saved, you become a conqueror. When you serve God with those giants that are in your life and you want to get victory over them and you still give and you still come, that makes you more than a conqueror. And this is what God wants for our lives. He doesn't just want us to be conquerors. He wants us to be more than conquerors. That is what God wants for your life more than what you may not see this, but this is what God wants for your life. Now, when Paul says, like, God wants us to be conquerors, and what shall we say to these things? The time of writing this, there was much persecution in Rome. The Christians went through terrible persecutions, but there was also much blessing. There were people who were getting saved so much. The church in Rome was growing. So there was persecution, but there was also blessing. So often, you know, we think it's just in persecution that we need to push through. But we also need to push through when things are going well for us. Because often when things are going well for us, we think, actually, I can survive this. I don't need God. You need God more when things are going well for you. Because God wants you, even when things are going well for you, what shall we say to these things? When things are going good for you, you still need to push into God. You and I still need to trust God. So as I said, when Paul says that he's persuaded that neither death nor life nor health, nor life nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. God wants you to take hold of that. You know, I'm thinking, I just look at some people across the congregation. And in our congregation, there are some octogenarians. There are people who are 80 and over, and Pam Messica sitting there. Now, I'm sure Pam won't mind me saying this. But years ago, when I used to oversee a son Graham's community, he was a community leader. And I tell you what, if you parked where Pam needs to come in, she would scold at you, and that was what Pam was like formerly. But now I see Pam. I see a woman, even though she's in her 80s, every day she still drives to Claremont. She works for a daughter. Say again, Pam? Plumstead. Anyway, it's close enough. Yeah. Yeah, a rose by any other word will smell as sweet. So whether Claremont, whether Plumstead, Pam still drives from Bonta Vista every day as an 81-year-old. And I take my hat off for people like Pam and there are others, and Leon James, they're also in his 80s, and Eamon. And okay, Leon, you know, Lionel, not yet. Leon is wanting to want some, Leon Duval wants some glory there. And I'm not giving it to him. But anyway, I am so impressed by people who still love God, who are here Sunday after Sunday and in community and give their life to Jesus and give their life to others. And this is what makes people like Pam and Leon and Heyman and others and Tony, what makes them more than overcomers. And this is what God wants us to aspire to. God wants us to do that. And so In closing, I ask Kobus to, I don't think we need to do ministry time right now. You and I need to go home and look over this and say, God, am I this? Am I more than an overcomer? Am I trusting just in myself, or am I trusting you? Am I putting my faith and trust in a God that is able to do more abundantly than what I can ask or think possible?